Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to listen to the Roman Show. The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
Mixed martial arts fans, get ready for the 2012 MMA Awards Show on November 4th at the Miramar Cultural Center, hosted by top comedian RJ, with musical performance by Danger Flow. Log on to FloridaMMAAwards.com to vote for your favorite MMA fighter, best promoter, best knockout, best submission, and more. UFC fighters will be in the house. For more information, call 786-306-1774 or visit the website at FloridaMMAAwards.com.
Hey, this is your host, Comedian Archer, for 2012 MMA Awards. You don't want to miss this awards show. Go and get your tickets right now. Sunday, November 4th, 2012, at the Miramar Cultural Arts Center. You don't want to miss it.
Visit El Octagono for all the latest in MMA, news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octagono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctagono.com.
Check it out. Keep listening to the Roman Show.
Hey, this is Dana White, the president of the UFC. Keep watching the Roman Show.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Roman Show on October 10th. Ladies and gentlemen, trying to still catch my breath after so much MMA this past weekend, especially here in South Florida and, of course, all over the world. The 1FC and you had Bellator, you had Invicta FC, you had UFC. So it was MMA galore this past week. But now it's a fresh new week. We got some Bellator on Friday and we got some Saturday UFC 153. Joining me tonight on the program, my co-host, Camilo Ortiz. How are you, sir?
I'm in Octagono. I'm doing good, Roman. I'm ready to watch the Spider Silva this weekend, man.
Oh, we got lots to talk about that tonight on the program. Stefan Bonner, Anderson Silva, 153 out of Brazil. Man, I love the commercial. And we'll get to it later on in the program. But let's just let everyone know exactly what's going to go down here tonight on the program. The Roman Show, first and foremost, we're going to have Devin Cole, a veteran of the sport. He will be fighting against Andrei Arlovski this November at the World Series of Fighting in Las Vegas. It's the first show for the company World Series of Fighting, and it's going to be aired on NBC Sports Network at 10:30 p.m. It's going to be coming live from Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. And Devin is a veteran himself of fighting in International Fight League and in Strikeforce. In fact, he's on the line, so we'll get to him in just a few seconds. Followed by Frank Morajan of MMA Awards. The Roman Show is nominated, El Octagono is nominated, and a whole bunch of other sections they got there, and you can do so by heading out to the website. And he'll talk about the program that's going to be taking place in November as well, so make sure you vote before it's a little too late there for you. And lastly, we're going to have Oscar Delgado, who fought at TFAOA. He knocked out Roy Jones in an exciting fight. Camilo, I must say, that was, in my opinion, the most exciting fight of the night over there at the Hard Rock Live.
a lot of people on Twitter were saying that that was Fight of the Night, and obviously on Facebook too, since CFA was able to stream live the CFA 8 for free on Facebook. So a lot of people were tweeting and posting their pictures of themselves watching the fights online for free. And yeah, that fight was a lot of people were nominating it for Fight of the Night.
Yeah, I must say, I was excited. We'll talk about that as well later on the program. But let's welcome in our first guest of the evening, Devin Cole, who fights against Andrei Arlovski at World Series of Fighting in November, and it's going to be live on NBC Sports Network. How are you, Devin? Devin, you there? Hello? Yes, sir. It's Mr. Devin, are you there? Okay, I guess we lost him there. Camilo?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I guess we're trying to call in. Devin, yeah, I can hear you perfectly. And waiting for the phone call. Devin Cole, 714-868-0222 is the number. As we're waiting the phone call, Devin Cole. Let's try again. Craft Networks. Devin, are you there? In contact you with Devin Cole, who finds Andrei Arlovski in November, the first week of November, the first Saturday of November, actually, in Las Vegas. Well, with that being said, and as we wait for him, this card coming on World Series of Fighting is pretty exciting in itself. November the 3rd, it's going to be in Las Vegas, the home of UFC. But nonetheless, it's going to take place. It has a whole bunch of fighters there. They were very recognizable, including Miguel Torres, Andrei Arlovski, as you mentioned, Anthony Johnson. Pretty unique card, Camilo.
Yeah, man. This is going to be their first event, and they're doing it in the backyard of the UFC in Las Vegas, Nevada, which, you know, I don't think it's going to affect anything at all. But they have come up with a really good card, man. Like you said, you know, the main event, Andrei Arlovski, who's a huge name in MMA. And, you know, they got him facing Devin Cole, who's got a really good record. He's fought at Strikeforce and a whole bunch of different other organizations. And we also have Anthony Rumble Johnson, who's going to be fighting DJ Linderman. And we've already heard Dana White say that he would like to see Anthony Johnson get one more victory before taking him back into the UFC. So this fight is very, very important for him. And like you said, man, Miguel Angel Torres, now this is going to be his first fight out of the UFC, and he's going to be facing Marlon Moraes. So, you know, Miguel Angel Torres, he's got a strong following, and he's always an exciting fighter to watch. Unfortunately, you know, he wasn't able to keep up with the fighters in the UFC, so he's going to take a little bit of time outside of the UFC to refocus and hopefully come out with a victory this time.
That's right, and I think we have right now Devin Cole on the line of that. Devin, are you there?
Hey, yes, I am.
Hey, Devin, how are you, man? Welcome to the Roman Show. It's a pleasure to speak to you. Fighting November 3rd against Andrei Arlovski in the main event of World Series of Fighting. How are you, my man? Anybody saw you this weekend at the Hard Rock Hotel?
What's that? I'm sorry?
Were you at the Hard Rock this weekend?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, I came across you at that event. And now, were you there supporting some of your teammates or any particular friend or fighter?
I was just there watching the fights. I actually was scheduled to be on that card before the World Series of Fighting show came up. I'm down here training the American Top Team, so I took the night to go watch some good fights.
That's right. You were scheduled to fight in that card, and then World Series of Fight. But what exactly happened there?
My opponent, I'd already signed my bout agreement, so I couldn't get out of it. So I was waiting to see the results of that, hoping to get the Andrei Arlovski fight, but I was supposed to fight a guy named David Yost, and he ended up breaking his hand, so there was no more bout agreement. And they asked me, George there at CFA asked me, do you want me to find you a different fight, or do you want to take this Arlovski fight? And, of course, I jumped on the Arlovski fight.
Right, and it's World Series of Fighting. That's a big name for you, Devin, and you know, what does it mean for you to fight a guy like Andrei Arlovski, who is a well-known name in the sport, a veteran of the sport, and what does it mean getting a victory against Arlovski?
Well, it's obviously probably the biggest fight of my life, biggest name guy. You know, I fought a couple big names in my time, but they weren't, say, big names when I fought him. You know, I beat Mike Kyle. You know, he wasn't as big a name as he was now with Strikeforce and all that. He was just coming off his UFC, you know, contract, all that. But, you know, ex-UFC champ. I mean, what else do you say? He he's a beast, you know. I just I've always wanted to fight him. You know, back when he was UFC champ, I thought I could hang with him, and now I get my chance.
Yeah, and it's a great opportunity for you, man, to be on this card. It's going to be on NBC Sports. It's going to be a nationally televised show over there, World Series of Fighting, and you're in the main event, but you're no stranger for it. You've been on Strikeforce, and you've been on all sorts of other promotions like the IFL. Now, what can we expect from you to come around this time around? It's been some time since you last fought.
Yeah, my last fight was December, December 17th, actually. It was the last heavyweight bout, well, besides Cormier, that they had in Strikeforce. And, you know, anybody that watches me or is familiar with my fighting style, I don't go out with a real game plan. And I just go out in a fight, you know. You get a lot of the fighters go out there and try and fill people out. And, you know, I'll be the first one to admit, I'm probably not the most technical fighter you're going to see out there, but I'm going to be the one that comes out there, and, you know, if there's 15 seconds going without a punch, you know, that's not very common, because I'm going forward, and I'm punching, whether they punch back or not, you know, that's not my fault, but, you know, I'm always doing something.
Now, almost a year layoff, why the layoff of the year? Were you trying to heal your body, or reflect some of your skills, or?
No, you know, that's a funny story. When I was just kind of caught in the middle ground, you know, I guess it's not that funny a story, but I was just kind of caught in the middle ground where I could either not get a fight, nobody would accept it. You know, I've been wanting to fight, and I finally got this fight with Yost, and then, you know, I kind of thought I was getting this World Series Fighting thing came on. I was like, crud, you know, finally got a fight, and now this bigger opportunity comes along, and prayed about it, and you know, everything happens for a reason. So, you know, I really don't know why I haven't fought in a year, but, you know, I'm ready. I've been down to American Top Team. I actually came down here to help Bigfoot get ready for his last fight, and I was actually supposed to go back to Oregon yesterday, but now I've got this big fight scheduled, and I'll be down here in Florida for another month, 3.5 weeks to prepare for my fight.
Any particular reason why you think you weren't given a fight?
You know, I don't know. You know, there was the whole, you know, I had a bout agreement with the UFC. Actually had it emailed to me, and there's a big ruffle about that, but I honestly don't know. I know there was a lot of fighters trying to get into the UFC that wouldn't accept a fight with me because, you know, they're just like you were saying. I was listening to the phone call. Anthony Johnson, he has Dana says, or Lorenzo, or Joe, one more fight and you're back in. Well, they don't want to take a fight against somebody who they think is going to be tough. And I really think that was a problem, which, you know, changed the subject a little bit. Back in Oregon, me and DJ Linderman live about 45 minutes apart from each other, and we train together about 3 times a week when I'm at home. And I'm saying that's going to be a good fight. I hope Anthony Johnson's not overlooking him, because DJ Linderman's a tough, tough guy.
Yes. Camilo?
Yes, hey, Devin, this is Camilo. I got 3 questions for you, and just to comment on what you just said about the Anthony fight. It's definitely going to be, I guess, right now the most important fight, and he should be very well prepared because it is going to be a tough fight for him. But anyway, going back to you, you know, you're going to be facing Andrei Arlovsky, like Rodolfo said, and yeah, that's a big name. He's, you know, he's a very well-known guy in the MMA community, but you're bringing to the table a really good record, man. You know, it's not like you're just some guy that just started fighting a week ago. You know, out of your last 11 fights, you've only had 2 losses. There was 1 draw in there against Mike Hayes, but right now you're in a 2-winning streak. I'm sure in your mind you see yourself winning this fight against Andrei Arlovsky. But do you think it's going to go the distance, or will this be a maybe like a 1 or 2 rounder?
I'm prepared to go the distance. I'm in the best shape of my life. Like I said, you know, I was planning on fighting last weekend, So I'm in fight shape right now. And right now I'm just not trying to overtrain, but stay, you know, stay active. I don't ever like to say that I'm going to finish a fight, especially against an experienced, you know, a fighter like Andrei Arlovsky. I mean, if I get the finish, I'm always going to be looking for the finish, but I'm prepared for a three-round war. And if I know I'm prepared for a three-round war, I don't see myself losing that fight. I just don't see myself the way I am mentally, the way I am physically right now. I'm hungry and I'm ready, and this is my opportunity on the main event against a big name. This is going to be huge leaps for my career, and I see three round war, and I'm ready for it.
Yeah, and you said that your last fight was in December of last year,
Yes, sir.
They say, you know, the best way for a fighter to get better is by fighting. And unfortunately, you haven't been able to fight since December, and your last three fights were in Strikeforce, where, you know, it's no secret, a lot of the fighters that are on the Strikeforce get frustrated because they don't have as many fights. They're not as active as possible. So I wanted to get your opinion on the fact that now it's this big rumor that Strikeforce is coming to its end, and how important is it to a fighter to stay active?
You know, I think it is really important for a fighter to stay active. Honestly, if I'm injury-free, I'd like to fight about every 2 months. I mean, that way you don't allow yourself to get out of shape. I mean, you fight, you take a week, you know, to spend time with your family and heal up bumps and bruises. But if you don't have any main injuries, I would like to fight every 6 to 8 weeks. And I, you know, I come from a wrestling background where – honestly, probably the most beat up I've ever been is when I was my senior year when I was college All American wrestling. You know, there was times that I'd wake up for 2 months straight, my eye was swollen shut, and then slowly by the day it opened back up, and then I'd go back to sleep, and just all the blood would rush to my head, and my eye'd be swollen up again. And you would wrestle three times, or you'd go do a duel in the week, and then wrestle again on the weekend. You couldn't pull out of that. And I'm kind of that mentality. I would like to stay active, you know. And I really think it's important for people to stay active. But then again, I've stayed active. Luckily, I've had opportunities where people have brought me to camps to help them get ready for fights. And, you know, I've helped out Rampage. I've helped out Bigfoot. You know, I've been pretty lucky there. I have not fought since December, but I've been active in many camps. So I feel grateful on that.
Yeah, and like I said, your last three fights were on the Strikeforce. What do you think about the whole rumors that Strikeforce is finally coming to its end? Do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing?
You know, I don't think it's ever a good thing when a promotion goes under. You know, I see a lot of fighters in that organization that don't get the recognition they should. But at the same time, you know, I see a lot of fighters who have busted their butt in that organization, and if it does fold, what's going to happen to them? You know, they're going to be in limbo just like I was for the last year. And there's too many fighters out there giving their heart and soul trying to chase their dream and just to be in limbo. So, I mean, it's a give and take. You know, do those top 1, 2, 3 guys in each division, are they hoping for the UFC to bring them over and they get their chance at the title and all that? Yeah, that's good. But what about the bottom 5 guys who have trained for, you know, 8 years of their life and they finally got their break and now all of a sudden they're done? So, I mean, it's a give and take situation.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's my opinion, and you know, it is what it is. But so it's good and bad.
That's right. And now, Devin, come with this World Series of Fighting. What was your first take when, obviously, of the type of the name, but what do you think about the promotion and its future? They say it's a big deal. You know, it's going to be on NBC Sports.
Yeah. You know, they've dealt with me good. You know, I really, you know, everybody's going to have to see what the first card's like, but I mean, just look at the names on the card. How can it not be a good show? And it's on cable TV, you know. And you know, they're not trying to take the back route to it. You know, they're up front, they're doing everything they need to be done, and I think that this is going to go a long way.
So there's room enough for another big promotion, in other words.
Competition's always good, I say. You know, it just depends on whether they get through the first, this first show. I don't know exactly what all the details are behind the cable, the NBC sports contract, all that. You know, all I can say is I'm going to go out there and do my best as the main event to try and make it to where they have many more fights. And judging by the personnel behind the desk that I've dealt with, you know, I think it's going to be around for a while.
That's right, Camilo.
Yeah, is this going to be a one fight type of thing, and then you're free to fight somewhere else, or is this like a multiple fight contract with this organization?
I signed a 4-fight deal with them, and it's exclusive. I know everybody else. I know other people, like I said earlier, I'm friends with DJ Linderman, and it's an exclusive deal. Everybody who signs with World Series of Fighting is exclusive. I know that. And I personally signed a 4-fight deal with him.
Oh, that's awesome. So it's not that you're a free agent and looking to rack up a couple of wins to go, you know, find your way to the UFC. As of now, at least for your next 4 fights, this is your home.
Exactly, and you know, with this win over Arlovski, I see myself fighting for World Series of Fighting heavyweight championship, you know, within my next 3 fights. I my goal is, and there's been rumors about tournament and stuff, I don't know what's happened with that, but, you know, my goal is, before the end of the year, to be the World Series of Fighting heavyweight champion, right after I beat Arlovski.
Wow, man, that's awesome, man.
Sorry, give me a minute. Devin, do you think it's appropriate for an up-and-coming fighter who has a decent record to sign up with a promotion for a lengthy period of time, or should the fighter look at the promotion before making a decision on that?
I think so. I mean, it all depends. There's so many promotions out there that, you know, the middle class or I don't know, like you definitely need to look at the promotion if you're going to sign an exclusive contract. I've had a lot of friends that have signed exclusive contracts and then been caught in middle ground, and just sitting on their butt for way too long. And yeah, definitely. So.
Yeah, because some promotions you do like a 3-fight deal, whatnot, and then. Once it's done, you can't fight for anyone else for a certain amount of time, or if you lose and they kick you out, you can't fight for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, like when you look at, I don't know the exact dates on my Strikeforce contract, but I signed a 3-fight, 1-year deal with Strikeforce, and my first fight, let's see, my youngest boy was born November 27th. I fought 2 weeks later, so it was like December. I fought Cormier. It must have been like December 7th, sticks in my head. And then my third fight on that contract was December 17th. So, I mean, yes, I know it was over a year, but at the same time, everybody thinks, okay, I'm fighting 3 times this year, and okay, what is that? That's once every 4 months. That's not bad. Where, you know, when you think about it, your first fight is the first day of your contract. Your second fight 6 months later, your third fight 6 months later. So that's kind of a bummer. That's why I kind of push for this 4-fight deal, you know, whether I'm fighting, you know, every 3 months or, you know, whatever. It's still going to be better than sitting on my butt for that long.
Yeah, and that must be frustrating. You know, you're a fighter, and then, you know, it doesn't go well for you in one promotion. You have to be there waiting for some time, and you have that itch to fight just to make yourself better, and you just can't. It must be very, very frustrating on the fighter's end.
It is, and not just fighting, but, I mean, supporting your family. I'm married. Mm-hmm. I have 2 boys, and it's you have to train to be at that level to fight some of those guys. You have to train every day. But then again, you don't fight for 6 months, and you can't afford to train. So I mean, it's so up and down, and you know, you have to find an employer who you can get a good paycheck from, but at the same time is willing to let you travel or willing to let you. Hey, I mean, just say you have a 9-to-5 job at some warehouse. That's a great job, and they, you know, they're willing, but I mean, and you got a good camp in your town, you don't have to travel to train or do anything like that, but fight week comes, you have to leave for 5 weeks. And say you have three fights in 1 year, you know, that's not, you're leaving for 3 weeks out, and you know, a lot of people don't allow 3 weeks of vacation. So I mean, it's hard because there's so many people caught in the middle ground where, you know, everybody reads the reports of after fights that Vegas puts out or all that of people making money, and they think, well, yeah, that fighter just made $12,000, $15,000. And,
right.
Okay, well, he's fighting three times this week, so 3 times 12 is $36,000. You know, that's not that much money in the big, you know, picture where people are getting their brains beat out. Most fighters, probably I would say 80% of fighters, have to have jobs and to find that employer that will let them work for that job, you know, and still continue to fight. That's the hard part.
Right. Well, Camilo, final question for Devin?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got one last question for you, and I wanted to comment on the on what you guys are talking about. We've seen Chris Leben staying out of action for a year, and now he says that he's like practically bankrupt. John Fitch is another guy who was out because of injuries, and he's, you know, now he's saying, listen, you know, I have a family to provide for. I can't be getting hurt. I have to like be more careful, and I have to be a more exciting fight. So yeah, I mean, you know, I guess my question to you would be is, aside from fighting, what's your backup plan?
Well, I have a bachelor's degree. I went to school to be a teacher. I still I have a bachelor's degree in health promotion, fitness management, and a minor in math. So we'll see what happens. You know, I've had desk jobs. I'm not happy behind a desk. So I really don't know what my career will be after fighting, you know. And hopefully, realistically, I'm hoping for, I just turned 36 October 1st. I'm hoping for another 4 years. Not everybody's Randy Couture where they can fight forever. If I get anything more, I'm going to push for another 4 years. If I get anything more than that, you know, it's an added bonus. And we'll just see. My honest goal in fighting is to pay off my wife's car and put maybe a $50,000 down payment on a house. I don't think that's too realistic for how long I've put into this sport. And, you know, after that, you know, everything's cake. I have a $1,000 mortgage on my house that I, you know, me and my wife has a really good job, owns her own business. You know, that way we can sit back and relax and we're not stressing. That is my one goal. I just want to support my kids and not them have to worry about, oh, well, Dad only has $20 in his wallet. You know, and there's been a lot of people, I think, that have came up upon that. Like, you know, me one where, oh, my family only has $20 for the week. And that's my one goal is, you know, I'm not greedy. I just, that's what I want to do. So my goals after it is, we'll see where it's at. But, you know, I have, you know, avenues I can take.
That's awesome, man. It sounds like you have a good plan, and I wish you the best against your fight with Andrei Arlovsky, which a lot of people still think he's got a suspect chin. But you know, I'm happy to hear that you have a good plan ahead of you, and I wish you the best on your fight, man.
Hey, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
And guys, you can follow Devin on Twitter at DevinColeMMA and watch him live November 3rd. On NBC Sports against Andrei Arlovsky in the main event of World Series of Fighting in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Devin, thanks so very much, man. And anytime you'd like to come on the show, just let me know.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for having us, guys. Or having me, guys.
Thank you, Devin, and good luck. Thank you.
Bye. Have a good night.
Well, great talk there with Devin, who, you know, I actually got to meet him in person at the outside of the CFA event in South Florida, so pretty neat stuff. Let's take this quick phone call. I think I'm ready. I'm going to jump in the gun already. But with that said, let's go to a quick commercial break. We'll be right back to talk with Frank Monejon, He'll be talking about the MMA awards in Miramar, Florida. He has all the details. And in fact, he's giving away 2 free tickets to that event. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this small commercial break here in the Roman Show. Make sure you follow the action on Twitter, @RomanDH. That's @RomanDH. We'll be right back.
El Octagono for all the latest in MMA, news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octagono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctagono.com.
Mixed Martial Arts fans, get ready for the 2012 MMA Awards Show on November 4th at the Miramar Cultural Center, hosted by top comedian RJ, with musical performance by Danger Flow. Log on to FloridaMMAAwards.com to vote for your favorite MMA fighter, best promoter, best knockout, best submission, and more. UFC fighters will be in the house. For more information, call 786-306-1774 or visit the website at FloridaMMAAwards.com.
Hey, this is your host, Comedian Archer, for 2012 MMA Awards. You don't want to miss this awards show. Go and get your tickets right now. Sunday, November 4th, 2012, at the Miramar Cultural Arts Center. You don't want to miss it.
Camino, we're back with more action here in the Roman Show. Great interview with Devin Poe. If you missed it, head on over to RodolphoRoman.com. And just a few will be uploaded there after the show is over with. He talked to him about his main event fight against Andrei Arlovski coming up November 3rd. It's going to be live on NBC Sports. And Camilo, on CFA this past Saturday, great stuff out there. They have 13 fights. A nice crowd that showed up at the Hard Rock Live. New venue for the promotion. It was definitely a nice show overall, sir.
Yeah, it was a good I guess debut in the at the Hard Rock. They had a good showing of people. Like we mentioned earlier, they were streaming live their event, which a lot of people were very happy with, and they had a lot of guest fighters, you know, like Alistair Overeem, Anthony Rumble Johnson, Hector Lombard, Melvin Gillard, just a bunch. I think it was a good result outcome.
Yes, sir. And you know what? We have a fighter that participated on that fight card this past Saturday as we await the phone call from Abraham. But first and foremost, let's welcome in Oscar Delgado. Oscar, welcome to the show. Trains out of MMA Masters. He knocked out Roy Jones. In the first round, in a fight that, you know, I had the pleasure of commentating that fight and CFAO, and I called it from the beginning, someone is getting knocked out, and surely enough it happened, and I've seen Oscar in action several times. I love watching this guy because he's either going to break someone's leg or he's going to knock someone out. Welcome to Oscar to the Roman Show. Oscar, you there? I guess it's awesome there. Oscar, are you there? All right, well, Camilo. Camilo, you there?
Yes, sir.
You know, I had seen Oscar first time, one of the first few fights he had, and in one of those fights, he broke the guy's leg. Like, literally, he broke it right on the spot. And now I saw the guy's face was, oh! And I want to talk to him about that because, I was just there at K-Side, and it felt so bad. You know what it is to get your leg broken? Like literally his leg just popped out of the socket of the knee. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, getting anything broken, even if it's a nail in a fight, you know, it can't feel good. And Oscar is one of the guys that he goes out there and he's you know, not only is he swinging for the fences, but he's an exciting fighter, man.
He sure is. Let's see, hopefully now we got him here on board on the Roman Show. Oscar, are you there? Oscar.
I think who you have on the line is Frank.
No, it's Oscar.
Hey, this is Frank.
Frank? Frank,
yes.
All right, there we go. It's dumb Block Talk Radio, I'm telling you. Frank, how are you, sir? Welcome to the Roman Show.
I'm
going to talk to
the
NMA Award in November. Big event coming up. If you live in Florida, if you live in South Florida, all over Florida, heck, if you live just above us, come on over to this great event, MMA Awards. The Roman Show is nominated for number one internet source, along with El Octagono. But, Frank, it's a great event that you've put together, and folks can sign up right now by visiting the website. Frank, tell us about this whole concept. How did you come about this, getting this thing together?
Well, first, let me say thank you for having me on board. I greatly appreciate it. And speaking about Oscar Delgado, he just got nominated for Best Knockout. So, and that was just approved today. So when you get to talk to him, let him know that breaking news from the Roman Show, Oscar Delgado for Best Knockout Fighter for 2012.
There you go.
But the concept was easy, man. The concept was basically looking at the people who make MMA in this state, people like yourself, people like Octagonal, who go out of their way and report the news and get involved in the MMA community. This show is really for you guys. I mean, that's how this show, this concept came about, was for the fighters who you know, dedicate their time and sacrifice their time away from their families to get on these shows and to make these shows. It's for the promoters who put on these shows, who are financially challenged, if you will, but yet they still are consistent in putting on these shows and winning the Florida fan base for the MMA community, man. So that's why this concept happened, is to say thank you, is to give appreciation, is to give recognition for all those who take the sport seriously and who make a difference in the sport, the fighters, and mostly the fans, of course.
Now, Frank, I've known Frank a couple of years now when I started covering MMA, the Herald and Bravi, Sherdog and all the other mediums. And Frank has been around the business here in South Florida for quite some time. He pretty much has seen the highs and lows of this sport here in South Florida. Where would you say the MMA is right now in South Florida? And what the reason I say this is last year, I think there was over 10 shows in South Florida, about 12 shows or something like that in South Florida, if you correct me if I'm wrong. And it's not the same this year. Why do you think that happened? And do you think it's going to pick up more? Or has MMA just, that's it? It's reached its peak down here in South Florida.
Well, you know what, Rodolfo, that's a great question. That really is a good question. And let's take the facts. Let's take it how it is. Last year as a whole in the state of Florida, we did over 30 shows. As a whole, in the whole state of Florida. This time this year, the whole state of Florida produced 13 shows, 14 now with Bellator coming in on November 9th, but 14 shows compared to 30 shows last year is definitely a decline, a drop in the numbers. And if you want to break it down a little bit more as to where those shows are being done, last year we had some shows up north in Tampa, you know, Orlando and all this good stuff where before there was a market up there. Now, this year, they've only done one or two shows, max, and now the bulk of the shows have been in South Florida, which is interesting because there's only been two promotions that have elevated the MMA, which is CFA, as you know, and Fight Time Promotions. This year, Fight Time Promotions did 5 shows, and CFA did 5 shows, so they make up 10 shows, just them. Out of the 13 shows this year, they make up 10 of them. And now that CFA has moved over to Broward County with the Hard Rock, now you're looking at Broward County being the hub of MMA in South Florida specifically. So with those two promoters putting on those shows, it says a lot. But let's fast forward to 2013. If CFA, which I believe the president of the company has come on the Rodolfo Roman Show and has said it, so it's no secret to everybody else, that what they're looking for is a TV deal. So if by 2013 they get their wish and they follow the formula in which the UFC has, which if you look at UFC as a whole, you would see they themselves, that one company, has done 33, 32 shows this year alone themselves. And if out of those 30 shows, you'll recognize and see, if you look at the numbers, that there's only been two out of those 30 that they fit in Las Vegas in their hometown. Everything else, the other 28 shows have been out of the States and traveling around the world, Canada, Japan, Brazil, and so on and so on. So if CFA wants to follow that module, then they're looking to do probably one or two shows next year in Florida, and then they're going to take off and go somewhere else. You know, we see it already with the XFC, with John Prisco doing the XFC, a Florida-based company, started here in Florida, got a TV deal, and now they're traveling throughout Tennessee and making shows over there. So if the formula keeps going, by 2013, realistically, XFC already out of Florida. CFA is going out of Florida. The two shows up north, they're only doing one show a year. Not too much buzz going on there. So the only one standing in 2013 who's going to be consistent in their shows, which is all documented for 2013 at the War Memorial, is going to be Fight Time Promotions. So either a couple of things happen. Either the shows now get less of a number in 2013. Now we're going to go from 13 shows this year to about five shows that Fight Time Promotions already have on their calendar for 2013. Then we're going to go down to five shows, maybe two that we'll pick up in Florida up north. So now you're looking at less shows, but is that good for Florida or is that good for the companies? I mean, we all would be happy that Georgie, the president of the company, CFA, gets that deal and moves out of Florida and does his thing because that's what he's looking for. It's no secret that's what he's looking for. But, you know, it's maybe they know something that we don't, Rodolfo. Maybe they know that to make it in MMA in this world, maybe you have to go out of Florida. Maybe if you want a bigger market, if you want more than 3,000 people showing up the event, maybe you have to look for a TV deal. But then again, follow the format in which the UFC did, which they lost millions of dollars when they first started. 10 years into the making, they almost went bankrupt, spending millions and millions of dollars until they got that TV deal. Once they did, it was a new birth for the UFC. So the promoters are now looking at that. The promoters are saying, and, you know, I'm not a promoter, don't know what they're thinking, but the way everything is going and the way it looks like, everybody wants a TV deal. And until they get that and they get that national exposure, that's when the company will be making money and really pay these fighters what they deserve and make it happen within not only in the state of Florida, but take it national. So to answer your question, you know, to make a long story short, I see MMA changing next year based on the success of these promoters. Because once they get successful in a national level, it's not that they want to, you know, leave Florida and forget their roots. It's just that there's more money to be made outside of Florida and take it national. Just like what they tell me with the award show. Frank, why is your company just doing the Florida MMA Awards? Why don't you take it national? Well, I can tell you. Because one, Florida is a hub for fighters, but it's really not a hub for the business. Dana White himself has said it. Listen, you know, I've been trying to figure out this market for a long time. Only 6,000 people showed up for the UFC. We can blame it on the card. We can blame it that it was on a pay-per-view event. We can blame it was on free TV. But if you're a true MMA fan, in which 6,000 of them were, that they showed up despite what record or what card it was, they came to support MMA in Florida. And that, brother, is the bottom line.
Yes, well, and again, the Florida MMA Awards taking place in November, and it's interesting you note that because, you know, I've seen so many promotions here in South Florida. W1, the Bellator started here. It seems that a lot of promotions start here, and then they go, or they just don't exist anymore. So it's curious to see why they start here.
Well, it's a tough market, and think about it. Now, I would love anybody from CFA to call in right now and join in because the bottom line is with all the money that CFA spent, you know, and I'm using CFA as an example. They're the ones who spent, and it's no secret, everybody says, hey, they spent over $100,000 per show. Listen, they're on their ninth show, spending over $100,000 per show, and we only can still get 3,000 people in there. Now, does that say, you know, does that mean that the community needs to support more? Does that mean that how much money does need to be spent to make those 3,000, 6,000? You know, the show on Saturday, you know, it's no secret. You go there, and there were some sections that were cut off, some sections that were the seats weren't even filled in because, you know, they were smart enough to understand that they couldn't fill up the house. And George, you could probably call and say, oh, yeah, we had no problem filling up the house. Well, then why didn't you? Why didn't you? And it's a matter of, you know, addressing the MMA community, putting on a show, which they put on great shows. They put on some good shows. It's not the fighters. The fighters fought a good card. It's not the production. They spent millions of dollars on the production. So the question is, why can't we bring more of the MMA fans together for a show like CFA, for a show like Fight Time? Fight Time puts on some good shows at the War Memorial. You know, they do what they have to do in order to fill up the house. They sold out their show. But yeah, people would say, well, Frank, that's only a 2,000-seater, 2,200. You know, Fight Time's going into a smaller venue as CFA is going into the Hard Rock. Yeah, okay. With all the money that was spent, why haven't they filled up that place and sold out the Hard Rock?
Frank,
and that's no disrespect to CFA.
Frank,
now,
I wanted to say something about that, which I'm thinking. You know, they say too much of anything is bad for you, and Miami is known for having a lot of everything. You know, there's a lot of events, a lot of options when it comes to go out on a night, and I think that's probably one of the issues that's causing that. Whenever there's a good event, that the fans have so many options. They say, okay, we could go watch these fights, or we could go to this club where this guy is going to be performing, or we could go to this, you know, art thing, or, you know, there's a new restaurant that opened up. I think that's one of the issues that's causing this issue in the MMA community. Because if you look at other states where they really don't have that much of a tourist scene or you know, options as in, you know, events. The events that do go down over there, they get a lot of support because they don't have that many options. You know, I guess it's a double-edged sword when it comes to MMA in Miami.
Now, you know, one thing I'd like to say is that a lot of, for example, some guys, let's say you take a tourist or a guy that's here, and let's take the facts, here in South Florida, the majority is Hispanic. Biggest population there is Cuban. They love boxing. They're fanatics of boxing. And it's somewhat they know the judo and the wrestling. But when some of these guys go to an MMA fight card, right, do you think that by providing a good quality fight card, it's going to make them come back again? You know, because if you go to a card, it's like, you know, I kind of fell asleep or it was too quick. They won't come back again. So you have to give them a good taste of that piece of pie so they can keep eating it again.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that putting on a good fight card, good and so to entice them to come back is definitely one of the key things to bring them back. My question is the amount of people that are coming back. Listen, there's no question, no doubt that CFA, you know, spends a lot of money, even on their fighters. You know, what this show this Saturday was a good card. They only had like 13 fights on that card. They definitely gave the viewers the money. And Fight Time as well. Fight Time November 2nd, they have that Wagner Rocha and Mike Bruno fight. That's going to be a good fight. Everybody's going to want to see that fight, you know. So the fight cards are important. What I'm saying, though, is that we keep bringing in the same people. We keep bringing in the same thing. And that's the reason why the award show, when you ask why it was created, what we're doing from a business point of view, in that side, what we're doing is we're announcing and we're bringing people together for sponsors that never sponsored an MMA event show before, have never even been to an MMA fight. But yet the award show, which is a totally different aspect from the fight itself, they'll sponsor the award show. So what we're going to do that night is we're going to have these sponsors come on stage and talk about their company and give the awards out to the nominees to a specific category. But what's really going to happen that night, behind closed doors or even in front of closed doors, is the fact that the marketing and the networking that's going to take place, where we can take one certain company, and I'll give you a perfect example, AnyLabTestNow.com. AnyLabTestNow have over 150 locations here in Florida, and they're the ones who do the blood tests for the fighters and everything else. They are our number one sponsors for this event. For them now to meet CFA, for them now to meet Fight Time Promotions, and for them to have that relationship with this, now you're going to see AnyLabTestNow most definitely at CFA, sponsoring CFA, sponsoring Fight Time Promotions. As they become the number one source of testing for these fighters and in the amateur shows as well, now they're coming and they're spending money on these shows, so hopefully the promoters can say, now that we have a little bit more cash flow, a little bit more freedom, let's give it to the fighters so now they don't have to fight on tickets or, you know, what they were fought for, $1,500, and they try to make a deal and end the deal for another $200, that they can close those deals and get these fighters paid and put them on these cards so that way you can have a good card and then make the fans come and enjoy it so they can come back. So from the business side of this, this is what the award show is doing. We're putting businesses together and having them invest in these fights so that it could be better for the fighter, it could be better for the fans, they could see better fights that that maybe the promoter couldn't buy them for whatever reason, but now with these extra sponsors they can, you know, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to build the community so that those 3,000 people in CFA become 6,000 people. Those 2,500 in fight time become 6,000 people in fight time. We're trying to build this community and bring the people together from a business aspect so that the money could be spent and deals could be made. And I don't even want to know about it. You know, I'll introduce them, make it happen. We'll put these people together for the decision makers. And if they make $1 million in deals, I don't know about it, fantastic. I'm not here to get a cut. I'm not here to get a percentage. I just want them to grow together, put some money into this business and into the sport, specifically in Florida, so that we all could benefit, so that the fans could come and benefit, right, to watch that fighter that they wanted to see for a long time, but the promoter couldn't afford him, so to speak. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's
right.
That's the business side of this award show.
And that's FloridaMMAAwards.com. Now, Frank, people can vote on the site, and then the numbers of people that vote on each specific nominee will win, correct? Now, my question is, who decided on the nominations? Was there a committee or something? Because you yourself work with a local promotion,
right,
Fight Time. There was a ticket that, well, you know, that's not fair. You know, he works for Fight Time and yada, yada, yada. So to address the issue here in the Roman show, I'd like to hear from your end as far as who's going to decide so that there won't be any conflict of interest when they do give out these awards.
Bro, that's why you know, I had to call in, man, and I definitely had to be a part of the show because I knew you were going to ask these hard-driving questions, brother, that gets to the bottom of the source, that gets to these questions that people want to know, and I'm glad you asked. I'm truly glad you asked. And for those who know me, for those who specifically know me, who know what I've done in this community, what I've done in order to get to where this company is, MMA to the Max, first of all, I would say, this award show is presented by MMA to the Max Network, Inc. And the reason why MMA to the Max Network, Inc. created this award show was because throughout its existence, it's never changed. It's always been a company that brought people together, that networked, that made things happen with other companies and other events. So MMA to the Max has also worked with CFA, has also worked with Fight Time, has also worked with other companies. So in order for me to single one out would be ridiculous because I've worked for every single organization there is, Strikeforce, UFC included, and the whole nine yards, Bellator and the whole nine yards. So it only makes sense that MMA to the Max was going to do an award show like this because it only makes sense. Throughout this whole career, what you'll find in this world of MMA, especially specifically in Florida, is that there are people who try their hand in certain things. There are people who will try to be, you know what, I'm going to start putting a magazine, not to mention anybody specifically, of course. I'll start doing magazine. Okay, magazine didn't work out. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start managing fighters. And then they're going to manage fighters. Oh, you know what, that didn't work out. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put on a show. I'm going to actually be a promoter. And then they put on a promoter show. And then that didn't work out. So then they start figuring out where in the world do they fit in this world of mixed martial arts. And they do it because they're passionate about it. They do it because they love the sport. They do it because they want to give back. They want to be a part of something big. And so they have to jump around and figure it out. Well, I'm proud to say that during MMA to the Max Network, we have never strayed away from the original plan in which we decided to do when we first started. Little did I know that all this networking and all this association with everybody else would lead me to an award show and bring everybody together. So for those, you know, and then Fight Time came along. And you want to break the story, me and CFA were working together, but that was working with everybody. It was never exclusive with any company because of what we did. We couldn't be exclusive. Fight Time Promotions came in and said, listen, we need this help. And my relationship with Howard, my relationship with Carla, friends before promoters came into play. So I accepted to be part of Fight Time Promotions. Now, did that close my door with every other organization to work with? Well, no, not really. If you look at it to where it's, oh, he's only part of Fight Time, only helping out Fight Time. And that was one of the questions that even CFA brought up to me and said, you know, Frank, you know, we love to support it and everything else, but at the end of the day, you're getting all the emails. At the end of the day, you're getting all the stuff, all the marketing stuff goes all to you. And to them, I would say to them, you know, and I've reached out to Georgie to see if we can have this conversation. He hasn't yet to respond, so hopefully he will respond, is to say, listen, when you do your shows and you have 3,000 people showing up, do you give your stuff away? Do you give your emails away to everybody else? Do you willingly give it away? Oh, no. Or do you feel you deserve it and earned it because it was something that you did, a show that you've created, and it's something that you earned, and that's your right to have that? But I would say the same thing. The 2012 awards is really not even mine. It's for the community. It's for the fans. It's for the promoters, in which I would help CFA and Fight Time and XFC and RSC and Art of Fighting to get these sponsors to come in and spend some money on these shows. The bottom line is that if you were to base this show based on the relationship that Frank has with these promoters, then you are totally missing the mark, and you are totally missing why this award show is happening. This award show is happening for the dedication of those fighters, the Oscar Delgados, who go in there and put on a great show and knock some people's heads off and deserve the right to be given an award. Last year, there was one fighter who fought more times than anybody else in the whole state of Florida and didn't get a thank you from us, didn't even get a pat on the back, and said, you know what, thank you for your dedication, thank you for your sacrifice, thank you for all the hours and the training that you put in to be a fighter. No one's even said thank you to him. Well, this year that stops. This year this award show is to say, listen, brother, here's your award for Best Fighter of the Year in 2012 because of your tremendous dedication and artwork. So four fighters that are on this card right now, four fighters that are nominated, Daniel Golightly, Jason Jackson, Michael Trujillo, Luis Babon Palomino. You know, Daniel, Jason, and Mike Trujillo, they fought four times this year. Four times more than anybody else, and that's why they're nominated, because they've worked the hardest. Not to say that they worked the hardest in the sense that everybody, even if you fought once, you still have that dedication, that commitment to go out there and do the thing. But for those who are singling me out personally, because I have some ties in with other organizations. Listen, I have ties with the UFC. How come nobody's saying, hey, Frank, you know, you work with the UFC promoting all that good stuff. Why is Marcus Brimage, or why is Bigfoot on there? Well, you know, why are you doing that, you know? I mean, there's going to be player haters throughout. And if you miss the biggest picture of all, is this event is to bring everyone in the state of Florida together, which has never been done before, which puts everybody under one roof, to recognize all the hard work and dedication that they have done in 2012, brother. Well, then not only are you missing the boat, but you're missing the water, the whole thing. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah, well,
it shouldn't be,
right.
Well, brother, don't get me started, but I can go on forever, and everybody else will be waiting on hold. But
FloridaMMAAwards.com is the website. Now, Frank, we're going to give away a pair of tickets.
Yeah, we give away some tickets now if you want, man. The next two callers, I tell you what, we did something on Facebook there, and everybody's waiting for that secret word. And
yes,
actually, it's going to be
the secret word.
Well, it's actually going to be two words, and those two words are going to be
okay.
Marcus Brimage. Marcus Brimage.
There we go.
So if those, there you go, brother. Get on Facebook, you know, get on there. Tell me what the secret word is, and we'll give out some tickets in courtesy of the Rodolfo Roman Show. We'll make it happen, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right.
FloridaMMAAwards.com is the website. Go ahead, Camilo.
Oh, okay. No, just to, touch base on the award show, we had the privilege to have Frank on El Octagono this weekend, and there's going to be 28 awards handed out. We got to see the actual award. Frank brought it to the studio, and it is a beautiful thing to have. So you guys, you know, everybody who's nominated, they're going to really want to win this award, because it's going to display beautifully. And the cool thing, one of the cool things that Frank mentioned was that if you have already voted in a different category, you can still go back. Let's say if you change your mind and you say, you know what, I want Oscar Delgado for the knockout of the year. You can switch your vote. Is that right, Frank?
Absolutely. As long as you logged on, you're good to go, brother. You can go and switch your vote. And best submission of the year, best knockout of the year is going to be added right now since we tally up the October 6th fight. That was the last fight that we're going to recognize as fight of the year. I know that Fight Time has this November 2nd, but since our show is November 4th, we can't count that one. So October 6th was the last one. So there will be more names added to the best knockout and best stuff. But you can log on, change your mind if you want to as many times as you want. But it's only one vote per category. So you can change your mind 20 million times, but you're only going to get one vote per category.
And I want to say, Frank, that we have Jose Geraldo has won a pair of tickets to the Florida MMA Awards. So Jose Geraldo, make sure you find Frank Morhone there on Facebook and enter the secret word, Marcus Brimager, going to the Florida MMA Awards at the Miramar Cultural Center on November 4th. And FloridaMMAAwards.com is the website to vote and to find out information. Frank, thanks so very much, man, for coming on the Roman Show, sir.
Thank you very much, man. I really appreciate everything you're doing, man. This, again, this award show is for people like yourself, man, who put MMA out there. Listen, special guests will be in the house. We will have some guys from Jackal's training. So you'll have Rashad Evans. You'll have Alistair Overeem. You'll have John Jones Bones. You'll have all those guys there, man. So go out, support, and make it happen. And thank you guys for everything.
No worries. Thank you very much, Frank. And again, the website is FloridaMMAAwards.com. Thanks so much, Frank, and we'll see you at the great event.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you. All right, Camilo, there you go. Frank Morgan, A to the Max, promoting the event of Florida MMA Awards. You know, and it was important for me to ask that question because you got to look at the facts. You know, many were saying that, you know, is it appropriate for him to do it since he does work for Fight Time Promotions? And if they're right, because if the award were to go to Fight Time Promotions for best promotion, well, people are going to go, well, duh. So it was just an appropriate question to ask.
Yeah, and the thing is that Frank Morejon, he's not some guy who just came on the scene a month ago. He's been, you know, in the MMA community down here in South Florida for many years. You know, he's even helped us out a lot in El Octagono. We thank him a lot for his help, for his advice. I mean, this guy, he's worked with everybody, and people who know him, they know that who he's working with. And the good thing about this is that he's been very open with as far as, like, you know, how voting's gonna be. There's a committee of judges that, like, Frank's vote is not gonna be an issue. There's actual individual people who are organizing all the, you know, taking care of everything, who's going to be the winner. Frank is just the guy who's putting everything together. He's not picking the winners. So, and like you said, this is, it's a much bigger picture than his affiliations. This is something, like you said, is there's a lot of fighters, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of promoters who don't get the appreciation and the hard work, not just the time, the money, but the passion, you know, that a lot of people don't get that. Thank you. And, you know, the Rodolfo Roman show, El Octagonal, just being nominated, it's awesome, man. You know, like, we feel, you know, I feel appreciated. I know you do as well. So that's something cool. It's much bigger than money, or I don't know. You know, you know what I'm saying? It's much bigger.
Yeah, it's appreciation, like you stated, Camilo. So, yeah, definitely, you get a FloridaMMAAwards.com, the website to vote. You can go vote there for best knockout of the year. Got the news source, personality, and so forth. And again, the secret word is Marcus Brimager. You go ahead and post that on Facebook or tweet it to @RomanDH. We'll hook you up with a pair of tickets. Jose Geraldo already has won a pair of tickets. All right, let's move forward now, Camilo. We're going to get a hold of Oscar Delgado, who fought a CFA 08. It was a great show, televised live on Facebook. People from all over the world checked in.
Hello.
All right, Oscar.
Hello.
Sir, welcome to the Roman Show. Oscar, you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you, brother? Thank you for having me.
All right. My pleasure, man. My pleasure. I'm with Camilo as well from El Octagonal. Oscar, you know, I know you're on a personal level. I've spoken to you. I would say from one of the first few fights that you had, and I have followed your career, and I say it all the time, man, you're an exciting guy. And I even said it while the commentary at TFA 08, you know, someone is getting knocked out, and sure as hell, I was right. You knocked out Jones. And, you know, one thing they tell me, Oscar, I did not get to see this, and Camilo, I don't know if you saw this because he was around you. Alistair Overeem, who trained, who has trained with Roy Jones at the Black Zillion, apparently Alistair Overeem's face was not as excited when he knocked out his training partner.
Yeah, that's what I heard, that it was priceless, that his face of disbelief, you know, when I finished Roy Jones, that's what somebody commented, and they told me, and I was like, you know, it's pretty cool, a superstar like that to, you know, react that way on one of your finishes. Is, you know, I'm pretty proud of that and really happy about that. It's cool.
Yeah, Oscar, I mean, it was literally from the beginning of when that bell rang, you both of you guys, and you got to give credit to both of you guys, because he also came up to fight as well. You guys were just swinging for the fences. Both of you would come in, he would come in, he gave you a couple. You still kept fighting. I mean, it was literally insane.
Yeah, it was a big test for me, like I said before, and he came to fight. You know, I got cut during the fight. You know, I ate like four knees right in the forehead, ones that I still feel today. And I always show up to fight, and this guy did too. So that's why we gave the crowd what they wanted to see.
Yeah, it was great stuff out there. You had everyone in the Hard Rock Live on their feet. And you know, you fought a well-known dude, Roy Jones, who has now he's 6-4. At the time, he was 6-3. And you give him and he had fought for Strikeforce as well. But you have given him a third fight that he has lost in a row.
Well, yeah, you know, I knew that coming in, and that also made him a tough opponent because, you know, he was looking for the win. And I'm coming of a win, too, so I wanted to maintain the same style that I was coming, you know, first round TKO, and I didn't know it was going to be that hard. But thank God I did, you know. He came game. He was very game for this fight.
That's right. Camilo?
Hey, Oscar, this is Camilo from El Octagono.
How are you, Camilo?
Good, man. It's good to talk to you. You always have time to talk to the media who covers the events that you're involved with, and, you know, I want to thank you for that. But I wanted to talk to you about your prediction, because you said that you were going to win this fight via TKO. Not knockout,
right.
Not submission. You said TKO. Why were you so confident with the outcome of this victory? Was it due to your training and your abilities, or was it because maybe Roy Jones wasn't too much of a threat to you?
No, I thought he's one of the tallest guys I've fought in my career, and I just was confident in myself, and I know that I don't go out looking for a knockout, or I go to work and, you know, to punish you, and I knew it was going to be just a matter of time before, you know, he would break, or I would break. I always go to finish it, because to me, 5 minutes, it's a long time, and this is MMA. You have more than one way to finish a fight, so I always try to do my best, you know, TKO somebody or KMO, but I take it how it comes, man. I'm just happy that I backed it up, you know?
Yeah, and when we talked to you after the fight, you said that the doctors were saying that his jaw was broken, and there were some people saying that there was a poke in the eye, but that wasn't the case. That was your fist.
Yeah. No, his jaw, actually, my manager talked to his manager after the fight, and he confirmed that, it was broken. So, yeah, even during the fight, when after I caught him, you know, that he looked at the ref, he was with an eye, like, winking, and he told him, pointed out his face, and the referee told him to keep fighting. And I was, you know, there was no poke. It was just the punch and then the knee and then another left hook, and that's when the ref stepped in, so... I thought that I broke it with the knee, because I really heard his mouth popped after I connected. But everybody said that it was the right hand after that did the damage. So, you know, something hit him. I know it was me.
It was, in my opinion, it was the last jab or the last right overhand that you threw. Because you could tell right in his face, his mouth opened up, and, you know, I guess that's why people thought that it was a poke in the eye, because his mouth opened, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
You also said that you had talked to Jorge Lanoval, the CEO of CFA, and he had mentioned to you a possible title fight if you came out with the victory. Is that still the plan?
Yeah, for what I know, that yes, and he posted on Facebook, and Tina told me that same night that, yeah, that I will be fighting for the title, hopefully, and I think it's the same on January 19th when all the titles will be on the line. So I'm very thankful for that. You know, I've worked really hard to get where I'm at, and George is always supporting me, and from back when the MFA days, so I'm very thankful, and it will be an honor to, you know, wear that belt, the CFA belt around my waist come January 19th.
That's right. So January 19th, they're actually going to defend four titles at the Hard Rock, which is pretty wild. You know, four title fights. You know that all those eight guys are going to be hungry going at it at the Hard Rock on January 19th. They're calling it CFA 09 Night of Champions and an Oscar. You know, I would have to agree with you. You deserve it. You know, you give a lot of excitement. I'm always a fan of you, man. You come out and bang. You really do. You say
and
it.
And I want to take. And I also want to thank you, man, because you always showed me. You know, you so supported since I first started, and you know, I'm very, very humble and thankful for you doing that for me, man. I really appreciate it. I really do.
No worries, Oscar. And you know, guys, Oscar is not only a fighter, and it's funny because when you think of fighters, you think of these guys being all tough and strong, but.
Right.
Oscar here tells me that he loves to cook. He's a chef. Now, you described to me at TFA that one of your favorite dishes you like to cook is salmon with red peppers.
And it's salmon with orange zest and rosemary potatoes. Yeah. It's one of my favorite dishes. Yeah.
Well, you got to definitely invite me over your home, man. I got to see you cook. I don't know about you, Camilo, that's kind of funny to watch a dude cook a fighter.
It is, you know, it's relaxing. It's from the fighting and the construction, and you know, cooking, it just keeps me even quill, you know. That's what I
now say. I hear you got competition from some of your teammates, because I hear also that at MMA Masters, Frank Carrillo is another chef.
Yeah, he's also a nutritionist, so you know, he knows what he's doing. So yeah, it's a little challenge, but I think I take the cake. I like to think so.
Well, you guys are obviously not in the same weight class, but I'd love to see a cook-off between the both of you guys.
I'm all for that. I'm all for that.
How about that, Camilo? Cook-off between those two?
Yeah. Listen, I think I'm probably going to have to jump in there, too, because I love cooking.
Oh, what?
I have my rice is the best, hands down.
Oh, perfect. We'll have a three-way fight. Inside
there
the cage.
Go,
we'll
man.
Put the grills inside the cage. Yeah.
Oscar, man, thanks so very much for calling in. Oscar, anything you'd like to go ahead and mention or give thanks to?
I want to thank everybody, you know, especially you and all the fans for CFA for showing support. And not to be disappointed and to keep looking forward for me, that every time I come out, I'm going to try to please you guys and do what I do best. Another quick thing, if you get a chance, is Frank there? Did Frank already call in?
No, yeah, he's fine. He already called in.
Oh, okay. Because he told me I was going to be presenting in the awards, so I was going to put him on blast right now, but he saved this time.
Said is that now you're being nominated for a knockout of the year in the Florida MMA Awards. People can vote for you now.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. I didn't know that. That's a surprise to me. I'm going to start voting and start paying people now. I'm going to start paying people to vote, you know? Hey. I'm going to do it like Chavez and run for 6 years straight. I'm just joking.
Well,
thank you guys. Thank you guys for having me tonight. I really appreciate it, man. Thank you, thank you, Roman. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, guys, very much.
Thank you, Oscar. Thank you, Oscar.
Thank you,
my man. Thank you. Thank you so much. Good night. All right, there you go. Oscar Delgado had a phenomenal fight against Roy Jones at CFA 08. And he heard it, as he stated on Facebook, Camilo, CEO of CFA, Jorge de Naval, stated that Oscar Delgado might possibly be getting a title shot January 19th at CFA 09 from the Hard Rock Live, Night of Champions. So four titles. I don't think that has ever happened here in Florida. It's a first, man.
Listen, CFA is known to, you know, I guess trying to put together the best cards possible. And this doesn't surprise me. I'm very excited. I hope that all fights, you know, all four fights, you know, or go through. You know, hopefully nobody will get hurt or anything like that. But I'm curious to know who they're going to give Oscar Delgado, because he's a light heavyweight. So, you know, yes. knowing Jorge Lanual and everybody at CFA, they're going to try to recruit a high-profile name. So I don't know. It's interesting to see who they're going to match him up with.
Yes, sir. Let's go to this call. Pause the break, and we'll be right back.
Yeah. This is Bjorn from Bellator Fighting Championships. Keep following Rodolfo Roman.
All right. As I mentioned, it was very quick. Camilo, we're going to have the Roman Show here. We expand from all sorts of parts of the world, from Thailand to Northeast, the Northwest. And right now, speaking of the West, which has a lot of mixed martial arts action, we have Jonathan King of the Clinch Report, who is now going to have a new segment here in the program, the West Side Report. Jonathan King letting us know everything that's happening all the way in the West Coast, as far as we're in the East Coast, but he'll keep us in tune with what's happening over there, Jonathan. Jonathan, how are you, sir?
Very, very good. How are you guys doing?
All right, my man. Can't complain. Now, Jonathan wrote for MMA Junkie, and as I stated, he now currently writes for the Clinch Report. You can check out all of his reports here in the Clinch Report, and you can check him out on Facebook, Jonathan King. Now, Jonathan, what do you got for us as far as the West Coast? What's going on out there? I know Tito Ortiz just recently opened up one of his amateur leagues. He has stated that he wants to pretty much create some sort of a breed, right, a breed of young fighters that go ahead and ship them over to the UFC.
Yeah, actually, I went over there and checked it out. I was on assignment for realcombatmedia.com, which is actually the new website that I'm writing for, cover all boxing and MMA all over the world. And went over there as a guest of Mr. Roy Engelbrecht, who is Tito's partner. On the MMA world, they're basically doing professional and amateur format over there. But the real cool thing that I got out of it was an amateur event. Had the look and the feel of a professional event with catered music, a lot of people there. The fighters appeared a little sloppy at times, but, you know, definitely aggressive and looking to impress. Tito stayed and watched every single fight. It's definitely, he looks like he's building an amateur stable as well as a professional stable. And I guess that'll give him the pick of the litter who he wants to sign from there, because he's also doing a management company as well. Everyone knows he signed Cyborg. So, yeah, it's a really, really cool organization that he's got going on. A lot of good fighters are going to come out of the California region soon. Teams like Lightning MMA are represented, Rain MMA, Punishment, of course, his own brand is represented as well. And it's there have been some professional sightings there as well. Guys like Bisping have been there rooting on their fighters. So you never know who you're going to run into and get an autograph there. It's pretty neat.
Now, Jonathan, what exactly, any events going on happening over there as far as local promotions that you can tell us in Oregon or California, Washington?
Yeah, actually, there's two coming up right now in Cali that I'm really high on both of these promotions, actually. One I'm sure you're familiar with is BAMA, which is the USA promotion. It's the BAMA USA. And their current lightweight champion, I'm sure you guys remember, is Mr. Michael the Joker Guyman, former UFC veteran. They have some great fighters in that organization. Very similar to the old, before the pre-fight time in Florida organizations. They fight out of casinos mostly, so the crowds vary depending upon how busy the night is. But they do have some pretty good fighters. So for the MMA enthusiast, you don't have a lot to miss. It's good fights there. And there's another one also coming up called the King of the Cage, which has a couple fighters that you guys are familiar with, South Florida, again, fight time. Tony Lopez fights for King of Cage out here in California now. He's, I believe, the heavyweight champion in the King of Cage. They have a couple real young fighters. One of them's named Johnny Cisneros, who's undefeated. This guy is an absolute brawler, 175, 180-pounder, absolute brawler. You got to see this guy. I think his name's the Tattooed Terror or something like that. Real entertaining fighter. Great stand-up, very aggressive. He should be someone to watch. They also have guys like Mike Kyle's fought for them, Josh Hinkle. They have a couple events coming up, I think, on the 13th. Kyle Jackson's facing Josh Hinkle is the headline at Double Down. And on the 25th is the big one. That's the gun show promotion that Johnny Cisneros is fighting on. So everyone should definitely check out those promotions and see if you can start supporting some of the local promotions out in California as well.
There you go. Well, Jonathan King, I check him out every single week here on the Roman Show, who is part of the Clinch Report and Real Combat Media. He'll be checking us here with all the information happening over there in the West Coast. And any details or anything happening in that area, make sure you follow him on the Facebook, Jonathan King. Jonathan, thank you very much for calling in, man.
Hey, thanks a lot. Also, I just wanted to say good luck to one of my boys who gave me an interview on my website, Mike Bruno. I hear he's got a fight coming up down there in South Florida. So that's going to be a tough fight for him. So I wanted to wish him luck as well. And thank you very much for having me on. I look forward to talking to you guys next week as soon as I get some more.
Will do, Jonathan. Thanks very much. All the way from California. All right, moving forward, Camilo, and Mike Bruno, who does have a fight down here in South Florida in November against Wagner Hosha. We're going to try to get in Mike Bruno, although he did state on Twitter, Camilo, on Facebook, that he doesn't want to speak anymore on social media. And Mike Bruno is the type of guy that I personally know, and you yourself know him. He loves to talk, but he's staying mum on fighting on Wagner Hosha. So, but we'll try to get him on here. I'm sure he has a lot to say.
Yeah, I mean, this could be, I guess, a form of a strategy to say, you know what, I'm done talking, I'm serious, I'm going to destroy you. You know, I mean, you can interpret it as that, or maybe he just doesn't want to get, you know, distracted from his training. Because, I mean, you know, as good as Facebook and Twitter is and as fun as it is, it's very time-consuming.
Yeah, it sure is. Telling me about it. All right, here we go. On with our next segment.
This is Alpha Cage. Unleash the Beast.
All right, Camilo, what do you got for us this week?
Well, man, you know, UFC 153 Silva versus Bonner is going to be this weekend. It's going to be straight from the HSBC Arena in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And this whole card is really good, but what I want to focus on is the main event, Anderson Silva against Stephen Bonner. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of critics, you know, there's always going to be critics. But I wanted to, I guess, get your opinion on certain things. Anderson Silva, you know, obviously he's going to be taking this fight in short notice. He's moving up in weight for this fight. This guy is on a 15 straight winning streak, I believe. Got like 16 KOs. Considered by many the best MMA fighter in the world. Probably the best MMA fighter of all time next to, well, actually, I don't know if you could consider Bruce Lee an MMA fighter, but he was the guy, I guess, the godfather or the founder of MMA. But yeah, Anderson Silva is going to be facing Stephen Bonner. So a lot of people say that this is going to be an easy fight for him, but I don't think so, man. Stephen Bonner, this guy, he was about to retire. They called him up. They said, hey, how about a fight with Anderson Silva? He didn't believe it at first, but then obviously, you know, he realized that they were for real. And this guy, you know, they call him the American Psycho because he's crazy. He's funny. He's a character, but he should be like, you know how like they have the Korean zombie? He should be the American zombie because this guy doesn't stop moving forward. He's never been finished. He's never been submitted, and he's fought. I mean, everybody, including John Jones, couldn't finish him. So this fight is a lot of pressure on Anderson Silva. More pressure on him than it is on Stephen Bonner. Stephen Bonner has nothing to lose.
Right.
There's two questions, I guess, that pop out. If Anderson finishes Stephen Bonner impressively, you know, do you think that he should move up to 205 or stay in middleweight? Now, Anderson Silva has come out and said, listen, you know, Stephen Bonner is a very dangerous opponent. This guy is tough.
This is not going to be a walk in the park. However, my focus remains on GSP. And now, apparently, he's saying that he might leave the middleweight division. So what do you think should happen if Anderson Silva comes out with the victory?
Well, I think there's nothing else left for him, but obviously, of course, if GSP defeats Condit, to fight GSP. And as they have said, you know, Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys, if he wants that fight to happen in Dallas, you know, in the biggest venue here in the States. And it could definitely break a lot of records when it comes to mixed martial arts. You know, being in one of the largest places, I think it fits almost close to 100 or a little bit over 100,000 from what I understand. And this could literally be like the Super Bowl of the UFC. You know, it happened with UFC 100, but I think it could definitely break the record because everyone wants to see this fight. You know, it could be back to like when boxing, you know, when Tyson and Holyfield fought. And everybody just wanted to see that. And I could see everyone watching this thing in bars all over the world because these guys are well-known names.
I don't see it
against John Jones yet. You know, he's just not there yet. I think Silva will definitely pick GSP.
Yeah, and Anderson Silva keeps on saying that he's not going to go for the light heavyweight title, which is, you know, it belongs to John Jones. So now he's, you know, the fact that he came out and said this, that his focus is GSP after Bonner, obviously, and that he might leave the middleweight and that the fight with GSP might not be at welter or middleweight, I'm guessing it's, well, I mean, everybody's been saying it's going to be a catchweight if it does happen. So, you know, I don't know. I think he just opened up a whole different, he just stirred up everything, you know, with the fact that he's saying that he might not compete in middleweight. Now, the other question was this. If Stephen Bonner loses, will he retire for good? But if he wins, you know, this guy just defeated the best MMA fighter in the world, even though it's not for a title fight. You know, even if he beats him, it's just a win. But it's a win over the best MMA fighter in the world. And now some people are coming out saying if he beats Silva, they should have a rematch at middleweight for the title. So what do you think should happen if he comes out the victor, and if he loses, should he retire?
I don't think retirement yet. You know, he probably has a couple of more fights to go. You know, he could probably be that guy, that gatekeeper guy. That, you know, if you got to get to him in order for him to get to the top. So retirement, I don't think not yet. I mean, and he is a good fighter. He's an exciting fighter. He has a big following. But should he get the title shot? Heck yeah. I mean, he just defeated the number one guy. You know, give him the title shot now. He just defeated the number one guy. It's only fair he gets the title shot, correct? Now, whether it will be the same outcome, we don't know. We'd have to see that all over again. But that would be my take on that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, that's the main attraction this weekend on the UFC 153 card. Obviously, the co-main event, you got the Minotauro Nogueira against Dave Pee Wee Herman, which we had the opportunity to talk to, Dave Pee Wee Herman. And he's looking to I guess, be in the best shape possible because he was, for a while, the guy that was, like, unstoppable. But, he hasn't been doing that good. Then you got Glover Teixeira, who trains with Chuck Liddell, and there's a lot of heat coming from Glover Teixeira in the sense that this guy, you know, he's the next big thing in the light heavyweight, you know, and they kept on switching his opponent. Now he's going to be facing Fabio Maldonado. Also have John Fitch against Eric Silva, which everybody's saying, you know, Eric Silva might be, you know, he's got potential to be the next champion, and this is going to be a welterweight fight. And John Fitch, like we said earlier, he's coming off, you know, he hasn't fought in a while. He says that he's a different fighter now. He's going to, you know, I guess he's at the same place mentally that George St. Pierre is, because he says, listen, you know, it doesn't matter if you win, if your fights are boring, if you don't sell tickets, they're not going to want to keep on putting you in fight cards. And if you're not active, you're not making the money. So now he's coming in with a whole different game plan. These are all fights in the main card. We got Phil Davis against Wagner Prado, which, remember, there was an eye poke the last time that they were going to fight, and the fight ended within seconds. And the last fight in the main card is Damian Maia, another famous or favorite Brazilian fighter. He's facing Rick Story, who at one point was challenging for the welterweight belt. But all in all, the card is going to be great. You know, the preliminary starting on Facebook, then they jump to FX. And obviously the main card is going to be on pay-per-view. But that main fight, the Anderson Silva and Stephen Bonner, that's the hot ticket right there.
It is going to be a lot of fun. And that has been this week's edition of...
This is Alpha Cage. Unleash the Beast. News of the Day.
And after that, now we go to the news of the day. Camila, a lot of talk, a lot of question marks. Everybody puzzled. Is Strike Force dead? We don't know yet. Strike Force has not been licensed yet by the Oklahoma Commission. The show is scheduled for November 3rd. However, the Oklahoma Commission does say that it expects no issues. As of right now, Daniel Cormier, who was expected to headline that event, yet has no opponent. Another fighter that was scheduled to fight Sarah McMahon and their card has dropped out due to an injury. Luke Lockhold also was scheduled to fight in that card. Also will not be fighting because of an injury. So the only thing we got right now is Jorge Masvidal is scheduled to fight on that one. But according to an Inside MMA report, Strikeforce is on the verge of, well, dying. Again, this has not been confirmed yet 100% yet. Supa has not come out publicly and said anything. But the word is that Strikeforce will no longer exist. And even Showtime is just about a matter of days or minutes or saying that just pulled the plug on the company. And it's kind of, you know, I think for a lot of people, and we can't wait till we bring in Frank Shamrock next Wednesday here, Camila, because I'm sure he has a lot to say about this. It's kind of gonna stink this for some of these guys because they're not gonna have a chance to be out there on a Showtime, you know, Camilo.
Yeah, I mean it's something that sucks because first of all, there's not that many Strikeforce events, you know. So these guys, a lot of these guys don't look for fights in other organizations. They wait to compete under Strikeforce. So the fact that there's not that many events of Strikeforce is not good. Second of all, the event that was supposed to be Gilbert Melendez against Pat Healy being canceled, that's not helping at all. You know, that's kind of pretty much telling, you know, Showtime is pretty much, I guess, looking at this like, listen, we're canceling, you know, all these people keep on getting injured. We can't cancel another event. I mean, it's going to be a matter of time before fans are going to say, you know what, I'm not going to tune in or I'm not going to buy tickets to this event. They're probably going to cancel it. So maybe all of this stuff is kind of accumulating to why all these rumors are coming out. The good thing is that if it is the end, you know, these guys are under SUFA. So, you know, most likely all these fighters are going to transfer into the UFC. So we'll be able to see some really cool fights.
That's right, yeah. It's pretty interesting stuff. And then, you know, it's kind of stinks for some of those guys that were signed to Strikeforce, and now all of a sudden, well, you know, we have no space for you in the UFC. Goodbye. Another question is, what's going to happen to the women's division? Is it going to move to the UFC? Dana White has said, heck, you know what, never say never, although he wasn't too much of a supporter of it, but now he's changing his mind after Ronda Rousey. So curious to see what's going to happen there. Although Invicta FC is the one that has the cards that are all full of females, so in that aspect, I think it's going to be very interesting. Remember, guys, to follow the action on Twitter at RomanDH, hashtag RomanShow. We're just following up here some of the news going on in the world of MMA. We're almost done with the show. UFC champ Jose Aldo says he's done riding motorcycles. This all happened because he was scheduled to fight on this Saturday's card, but he got in a motorcycle accident, which caused him to fight against Frankie Edgar to defend his title at home in Brazil. He says, you know what, I'm not riding any more bicycles. I was young, I was dumb, but now I understand. UFC Jeremy Stephens remains jailed in Minnesota and awaits an October 23rd court date. Now, this all happened right before the UFC and FX this past Friday, and the bail was set for $100,000 for Stephens. And wow, that was just some shocking news. You know, that guy's about to fight, and then he gets in jail.
Yeah, Dana White said that they were trying as much as they could to get this guy out on, you know, pay his bail bond so that he can fight. His opponent was waiting, you know, up to you know, the last, I guess, 30 minutes prior to the main event. He was still waiting to see if that fight can still happen. And obviously, it didn't happen. But the other thing is that he's going to be extradited to Iowa. I think it was the state where the charges originated from.
Yeah, pretty crazy stuff coming out of that. And, well, now, speaking of ratings and MMA, you know, we spoke earlier today here about how MMA is doing in South Florida, but, you know, numbers just aren't doing too well when it comes to TV, as Bellator 75 ratings were down from the season debut. Now, after a strong showing in the season 7 debut a week prior, Bellator 75 saw a rating decline this past weekend. Bellator 75 averaged 145,000 viewers on MTV2. Then take consideration the UFC will go for one. But with that being said, the UFC on FX, 5 prelims on Fuel, drew a record low audience. So, you know, it's just so weird with the numbers in MMA. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. It's just not solid.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's everything has its ups and downs, you know. Some fight cards are going to be, you know, amazing. They're going to break records. And some fight cards, you know, as good as they might be, they just might not get that attendance, or people might not, you know, watch it as much. It's, you got to take the good with the bad, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I guess so. And now Bellator, which is coming November 9th here to the Hard Rock in South Florida, Bellator announced that they will be holding tryouts at American Top mm-hmm. Team Coconut Creek on November 10th. So they're going to have some tryouts for their reality show, which is scheduled to show up to telecast on 2013 on Spike. There will be a tryout on American Top Team Coconut Creek. Now, applications can be downloaded at spike.com. And also this weekend, guys, aside from the UFC 153, Bellator will have a great event. The main event there, Eddie Alvarez versus Patricky Ferrer, the Pitbull. Also, Radim Martinez versus Nazarino Malegre, and other fights as well. Eddie Alvarez, obviously, this is scheduled to be his last fight with Bellator, and it could be his ticket way into the UFC. But, however, if he loses, Camilo, that's a huge dent for Eddie.
Well, you know, I don't know, man. That's tough because Eddie Alvarez, regardless, he was before he met up with Michael Chandler, which that fight was amazing. Unfortunately, yep. That was the same night that Mauricio Rua and Dan Henderson fought. Which you know, after watching the Eddie Alvarez fight and Michael Chandler fight, you say, oh my God, what else can top this? And then you go and watch the Henderson and Rua fight. But
right.
Eddie Alvarez is just an amazing fighter. He attracts. So I think even if he does lose, I don't think it's going to hurt him that much. He was the reigning champion in Bellator for a long time. So I don't think it's going to hurt him. And I think people are going to want to see him in the UFC or, you know, any other organization where he fights under. They're going to want to see Eddie Alvarez fight.
That's right. And now, Camila, let's take a quick phone call here of one of our listeners. Caller, you are on the air in the Roman Show. Caller?
Yeah, hello?
Hello, how are you, caller? Welcome to the Roman Show.
Yes, hello?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yes.
Anything you'd like to speak on some of the topics that we have spoken about here on the Roman Show this evening?
Talking about what? I'm sorry?
Do you like to speak on any of the topics that we have discussed today on the show?
Well, just wanted to be sure that you're talking to Jose Giraldo.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to talk about the issue with Frank talking about all these promotion or organization that moving out of the state, not just Florida. That topic.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Well, what's your opinion on that?
Well, my opinion is that I think what he was saying was exactly what I was thinking about the other day, because there were so many organizations in Florida, and I think it's just right for the organization that they could go out there and explore better business with better money, so they could spread out the business, you know, not just only Florida. And you're right, most of these events, it came from Florida, and I'm surprised about that. Some other states, I have noticed that some other states, like in the West Coast or Middle West, they have like small amateurs or small pro. They need to spread out their wings and let them recognize it, not just Florida. And I totally agree with what Frank was saying. And so, I mean, I think it's a great idea. Not just it's like UFC doing. What UFC is doing is just great, like going way out of, like worldwide, global. And so as Bellator doing the same thing, but Bellator doing like some repeat state, for example, like they keep going to Florida and Atlantic City all the time. But I just think they should spread out more everywhere. I mean, that's what I think is, that would be cool, so that people just don't, I mean, so that the MMA fans can see what it's like, what MMA is.
Gotcha. Well, thank you, caller. Thank you so very much for calling in the Roman Show. And make sure you tune in next Wednesday here in the program, as we're going to have Frank Shamrock. We'll be talking about his latest book. He is now an author, and a whole lot of history on MMA, and obviously his thoughts as the perhaps the end of Strikeforce. Camille, your final thought before we end tonight's show.
Nothing, man. It was a good show. There was also one of the news that was making headlines this week was that the UFC is putting a clause. It's called a dangerous activity clause, which every fighter who has been booked for a fight, there's a list of things that they're not going to be allowed to do. That includes, skateboarding, surfing, horseback riding, which Donald Cerrone is not happy about. And a bunch of lists, which I think is definitely something very good. And it was about time, because there's way too many injuries.
How about bodyboarding? Did they have bodyboard in there?
You know. I don't know what activities are. I know that there was a couple of them, you know, obviously including the skydiving as well. But there's supposedly it's a huge list. Now, once you agree to a fight, and you're signed, you are not allowed to do these things, because, you know, guys get hurt training. So why go and do something stupid to increase your chances of getting hurt outside of the gym?
Very interesting. Well, my final thought, Camille, that I want to say is that, well, Dave Bautista had debuted this past Saturday against another fighter, and his debut wasn't as, you would say, as successful as Bobby Lashley or Brock Lesnar, who are also former pro wrestlers. Many in the MMA community are taking and looking at Dave Bautista as not a serious guy in the sport. You know, it's something that he wanted to do. He trained with Stephen Bonner, actually, and he stated that Stephen Bonner just kicked his butt in the training room in Tampa. But, yeah, Dave Bautista, you know, he's like 43-ish, I believe it is, literally, you know, early 40s. And like I stated in the earlier show, you know, he's a great pro wrestler. He is awesome. He has a look. He has the gimmick. But when it comes to MMA, I don't know, man. I just don't know.
I mean, the thing is this, that it was his debut, you know. It wasn't, you know, you can't expect him to go out there and look like Anderson Silva. And you know, I mean, the opponent they gave him was this, you know, chubby dude, which, by the way, he rocked David. He
literally knocked him out. Oh, yeah. If he would have connected in the one, he would have been gone.
Yeah. I mean, I give Dave Bautista props because he didn't just talk the talk. He walked the walk. He went in there, and it was his first fight. So, I mean, you know, obviously he's not going to look like a professional MMA fighter who's got, you know, all these fights under his belt. This was his first debut, and a lot of people don't get that much attention on their debut. So I think he's got potential.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt about that. So it's very interesting as far as Dave Bautista training over there with Stephen Bonner. And you're right, it is his debut. But again, it's Jason Mann right now, but the football player, Herschel Walker, debuted in MMA. And I think he had a better debut than Dave Bautista. And Herschel Walker is well into his 40s, and the guy looks phenomenal when he debuted for Strikeforce here in South Florida. The guy literally just destroyed his opponent. But you're right. He nearly knocked out Dave Bautista. And you could just imagine that would have happened. But, you know, they asked him afterward. They said, you know, Bautista, and mind you, the interview was not that great. But he basically said, you know, I've been waiting for so long to talk about this. And he said, it's just something I needed to get out of my chest and something I needed to do. And they asked him, you know, you're going to fight? He says, well, we'll see. You know, we'll see if there's a next fight. But it's just something that I look forward to and so forth and so forth. And he even said that his opponent hit really, really hard. So it's like, hey, welcome to reality. This is not pro wrestling. This is MMA. It's a whole different ballgame.
And you know who interviewed him, right? That was Joe Luzon, the UFC fighter.
Yeah, well, I don't know about his interviewing skills. I'm just saying. No, listen, don't take it offensive there, dude. But it's just, come on, man. You know what I mean? It was just basically,
It was his debut as a reporter.
Yeah, whatever, bro. Look, if you're going to do something right, do it right. Just don't half-ass it. You know, and it's something we see here. In journalism here, sometimes some guys, they want to pretend that they've been doing this forever and they haven't. And they think that it's easy just to get, you know, behind a phone or in front of a computer and type their lives away. If you have no credibility or if you have no background or history or practice in this thing, anyone can get in front of a microphone. Anyone can just get on the phone and talk. But there is a skill. There is actually a skill behind this stuff, Camilo. Camilo, you've been in the business for some time. You've been in radio. You have some credibility. But only because you're fighter does not make you a good speaker or a good person. You can ask the right questions.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing about a fighter's, I guess, commentating or doing interviews, the cool thing is that they've been there. They know, you know, what it feels like. But, yeah, it does take some time. And myself, I consider myself a professional fan. I'm not a journalist like yourself. I'm not a reporter. I'm a professional fan.
You're a professional fan. Let's take a quick phone call before we go off the air here. Camilo, caller, you're on the Andrew Roman Show. Hello, caller?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. Yeah, you're on the air on the Roman Show? You hanged up. I guess you got scared. Well, that said, though, I mean, if despite the fact that you're a fighter, I mean, everyone has questions. You know, why not ask Dave Bautista, hey, you look tired. You know, what gave you that extra boost to keep fighting? You know, and I'm sure he, as a fighter himself, he has been through that. So it's even easier for you to ask a question like that. You know, because he did. If you look at Dave Bautista, he's got to look tired. He looks exhausted. It's kind of like a TFA 08 in that fight with Gabriel Verona versus the guy Jason Jones. Jason Jones was defeating Verona. There's no doubt about it. But there was one point that Verona could have beat the guy. Jones was tired. You can literally see his lungs just expanding. Like it was like a blowfish. You know how a blowfish just opens up his cheek? It literally looked like that. And it was his time to shine, but he just didn't follow. So why do you ask questions like that? You know, what do you think about that performance?
The stunner's performance?
No. I'm saying that this guy should have asked that question to Dave Bautista.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell he was nervous. You know, he had his hand in his pocket. He was kind of like looking at the ground. You know, he's a fighter. He's not a reporter. And, you know, it's hopefully he'll, if he's going to continue, he'll do better. You know, he'll take some tips like from Kenny Florian or Rashad Evans, and you know, he'll improve. But yeah, there was a lot. I'm sure there was hundreds of questions that could have been asked, but you could tell he was very nervous, and Dave Bautista was, you know, he was excited. He was saying that he worked very hard for this moment, so he wanted to talk. Kind of took the mic from him, and
there it is. It is what it is. Now I think we have the caller here on the line. Caller, you're on the Roman Show.
Hey, what's up, Roman? It's Gene.
Hey, how are you, man? Pretty good.
I think I'm good. Just wanted to actually discuss the Dave Bautista subject.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. His fight, I do agree with the last caller that his fight was sort of sloppy. But in his defense, he's 43, and I mean, he fought a guy with 40 plus fights. And with his last fight was in Bellator, and he was outweighed by 45 pounds. So, I mean, I don't know, for 2 years of training, I think, you know, to jump into a pro fight, first, he's not ready. And to get a victory, you know, I think that's phenomenal in his case.
Yeah, no doubt on that. Kudos to Bautista. You know, he did something he wanted to do. It's not anyone can jump in there. There's no doubt about that. But comparing it again to, like, a Herschel Walker, who is also in his 40s, you can't compare the both. Herschel Walker's performance was a whole lot better than Dave Bautista.
True, but Dave Bautista also got this fight on very short notice. I mean, the week of the fight, he was still looking for an opponent.
Right.
So, I mean, to get an opponent that's literally 40 pounds, you know, he's 265, the guy was 305 pounds that he fought.
Right. Yeah, no, you're right about that. He did take a change of opponent, and if you're just making your debut, I would have to agree with that. It is a little difficult to adjust yourself, especially since you've been preparing for one particular guy, and then he's no longer able to fight.
For a guy that had less than seven fights, and to jump in there with a guy with 40-plus fights, you know, that fought a Bellator veteran, I think that proved maybe it was as technical or maybe as clean as you would think, or maybe we didn't see as much striking, but I think, you know, he got a pretty solid win.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just only a matter of time. He did say, though, in the interview that he had a lot of butterflies, and, you know, that could definitely affect you coming here to that fight. Well, thanks for calling, my man. And, well, with that being said, Camila, that pretty much wraps up tonight's show. Follow us on Twitter at RomanDH. Use hashtag RomanShow, and we'll catch you next Tuesday at 9 p.m. Actually, we're going live talk entertainment to pro wrestling and the news and current events. And then next Wednesday, I apologize, at 9:30 p.m. with Frank Shamrock, which I sure knew he has a lot to say, Camilo.
Yeah, I bet. Hey, I want to take the opportunity to also invite those people who speak Spanish to listen to El Octagono this weekend, this Sunday at 2 p.m. You can hear us and watch us on UniverseMiami.com. We're going to have a special guest, Rich Clemente, who's going to be fighting at Bellator 77. We're going to talk to the first champ of Invicta FC, Jessica Payne. Going to catch up with her. And also we're going to talk to Gilbert Melendez, see how his injury is going and what he thinks about all these rumors of a strike force ending. And from Puerto Rico, Angel Cordero from the MMA Truth will be joining us.
Awesome. Well, Camilo, with that being said, that pretty much wraps up this edition of the Roman Show. Catch you next week. Enjoy the rest of the weekend and the week. And whatever you do, don't drink and drive. Good night, guys.